radio akwa bia si eye
to unforeseen difficulties, this program maker is not available now, so we pause for a musical break.
Listening to Busola Martin Mago, Our God Reigns. My God reigns, our God reigns. And He reigns over your life, He reigns over your situation. He reigns over every circumstance, every complication that you go through in life. So don't give up, because your miracle is on the way. It's been wonderful to have you with me this evening. Those of you who listen to us on 104.6 FM in Auckland, New Zealand. Those of you who also listen to us on www.planetaudio.org.nz. And those of you who have got your application in your pocket, your smartphone application, listening to Planet FM, also we're chatting out to you. Big ups to all our regular listeners on 104.6 FM. I've got a wonderful man of God right in the studio here with me. And she has got a word for you. And I believe your life shall never be the same. She inspires. She challenges. And the power of the Lord is going to speak through her to you. So we're just going to give her just a quick minute. Invite a friend to invite a friend's friend. It's a Tuesday again. This is Radio Kwaba 104.6 FM, sponsored by the Ghana Association of New Zealand. We're having a gospel session at this moment from the Redeemed Christian Church. God is good, God is good, God is good. Sister Adela right in the street here with us, and she has got a word for you. Welcome to the studio, Mama.
Thank you.
And God bless you. It's been a while, like I said, yeah, and if I believe, you know, you've stored, you know, the great words for us at this moment, and we believe that people's lives shall never be the same.
Welcome today. By the grace of God, my name is Dr. Adesayo Adelowo. I'm representing the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Victory House, Auckland, New Zealand. The Victory House is located at 6C Onan Place. And today, by the grace of God, I'm going to be talking about the faith of our Father. I'm talking about the faith of our Father, and we're going to be taking our scripture from Hebrews 11, from verse 23. I'll read Hebrews 11, 23. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. It was by faith that Moses, when Moses grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasure of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. This evening, by the grace of God, I'm going to be talking about the faith of our parents. And if we can look at Moses, we knew the story of Moses. Some of us are quite familiar with the story of Moses. God actually groomed him to deliver Israelites, you know, from the oppression of Egypt. The Bible made us to understand that the Israelites, they were in Egypt, they were in slavery, in bondage for 430 years. But it was not the counsel of God, it was not the will of God for the children of Israel to continue to be in slavery. So he said, I've heard your cries, I've heard your groans, and I've come to deliver you. But even when he came to deliver, he did not come down by himself. He actually prepared Moses and he sent Moses. But the beginning of the Moses story did not start like that. Moses did not just appear, you know, in front of Pharaoh. He did not appear, you know, at the palace. He was groomed. He was prepared. And someone actually gave birth to him. But the Bible made us understand that when Moses was given birth to, Pharaoh actually wanted to get rid of all male children, because he was afraid that these people, as they are growing and they are multiplying, if any war comes upon us, definitely they would support, you know, our enemies, and that is going to be to our disadvantage. So he actually made a decree that all boys, you know, giving birth at that particular time, you know, should be, you know, should be killed. And but the Bible made us to understand that Hebrew women, you know, they were very strong. Even before the enemy came, they had delivered. And the two midwives did not actually help them. And I'm sure because these two midwives' wives were there to help them, Moses' life was preserved. But the Bible made us to understand that when the mother had him, the mother actually hid him for 3 months. And it's really interesting, you know, for us to imagine that you could have a child and you could actually hide your child for 3 months because the oppressor, Pharaoh, the enemy, at that particular time wanted to get rid of him. But the Bible made us to understand in this Hebrews 11 that the parents of Moses, they were not afraid, you know, to disobey Pharaoh. They preferred, you know, to be with God, to obey God, because God says you are not allowed to kill. But, you know, at that particular time, we know that Pharaoh did not believe in God. It was just about him. You know, he cared only about himself. So, but what we're saying is for Moses to actually be groomed to become the deliverer, the parent had an important role in his life. And that is relevant, you know, to the world that we live today. We've got great influence, you know, upon, you know, our children. We're given the mandate to direct them, to instruct them, to correct them, to love them, to nurture them. But most of the time, you know, especially for some of us, you know, in New Zealand, we look at the policy, oh, you are not allowed to correct your children. You know, you are not allowed to do this because you don't want the legislation to come against you. And because we do that, because we're afraid of, you know, the legislation, the policy, some children even threaten, oh, you can't touch me right now, you can't discipline because I'm going to bring 111. And because we're afraid, we fail to nurture our children. We fail to discipline them. We fail to guide them. And what are the consequences? Grown-up adults who cannot take responsibility. And I pray that that will not be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. So we can see, you know, what Moses' parent, you know, did. In Exodus chapter 2, from 1 to 3, the Bible made us to understand that when they had that baby, they saw that it was a proper child. And they hid, you know, that child. So it means they protected him. The first thing is they were believers. They were Christian. And because they were Christian, they were very clear about the plans and purpose of God concerning their lives, concerning the life of their children. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thought that I think towards you. They are not thoughts of evil. They are good thoughts, you know, to bring you to an expected end." So because they were believers, they knew the word of God. So when they saw that child, they knew that this is a beautiful child. Another translation says that this is a proper child. And so I'm asking you today, what do you see? Most of the time we look at our children and they're lovely, they're beautiful. But if you want to take this further, you know, to actually get to understand, you know, the beauty of this child, it is the beauty in the eyes of God. If we want to look at the Hebrew meaning, you know, of that word, it means that Moses was beautiful in the sight of God. Not that Moses was born without sin or without any fault, but God saw him, God knew him, God had plans for him, God knew that he was fit for the assignment that he has created him, you know, to achieve. But on the other hand, you know, Pharaoh actually wanted to get rid of him. Pharaoh actually wanted to kill his dream. Pharaoh actually wanted to kill the dream, you know, of Israel, you know, as a whole. But because the parents, they were Levites, coming from the family of Levi, they held on to their child. They were the custodian of the word of God. They believe in God. They believe in the word of God. And, you know, it was not difficult for them to actually hold on, you know, to the promises of God. And so as Christians today, I want to ask us, as mothers today, do we actually believe in God? Do we actually live our life according to the counsel of God? Do we actually hold on to the word of God? When we have challenges, when we have troubles, when we have tribulations, who do we cry to? Who do we look up to? Today, I want to encourage us that if we know that we are a family of faith, that we believe in God, we should stay strong to that. We should hold on to the word of God. We should hold on to the promises of God. We should discern the heart of God concerning the lives of our children, concerning the life of our family members. And with that, we would be able to guide them to, you know, fulfill their destiny. I pray that the children that God has given unto us, they will fulfill destiny in the mighty name of Jesus. So another thing that, you know, we need to know about these people was that they feared God. They did not fear Pharaoh. But today, like I said, you know, as Christians, you know, even in this setting, you know, we fear the system. You know, we're afraid of legislation. We're afraid of what our friends will say. We are even afraid of what the friends of our children, you know, will say. But I want to encourage you today that all you need to do is to fear God, to obey him, and to actually hold on, you know, to his counsel. That is where we can actually guide our children to fulfill their purposes. And we can see that God's plan is very sure. Though Pharaoh wanted to get rid of Moses, God had a better plan. The parent also took an action. They believed in God, but they also took an action. And because they took an action, they were able to protect, you know, their child. The Bible made us to understand that when the woman could not hide, you know, the child anymore, he had to take a further step, you know, by actually preparing, you know, a basket, you know, a protected one, and he actually took, you know, the child, you know, to a river. And I am sure that she was hoping that somebody would come around on that day to actually save that child. But she wasn't careless. She actually positioned Moses' sister there. I want you to look on in case any crocodile is coming, in case any evil thing is coming to befall your brother. And if any good news come, you know, also I want you to rise up, you know, to the situation. So when Pharaoh's daughter came, Moses' sister was there already. Moses' sister actually ran to her. Oh, definitely, this is one of the Hebrew boys. Do you want me to go and look for a midwife, you know, that is able to look after this boy? And I don't really know how Moses' daughter actually succumbed, you know, to that plan. And that shows us that that is the plan of God. And it's still a mystery how the father wanted to kill the boy. And it was still in that same man's house that Moses learned everything that he needed to learn to actually become the deliverer, you know, of his people. And so the little girl ran, and, you know, Pharaoh's daughter said yes. And when the real mother came, he said, take this boy, nurture this boy, and I'm going to reward you. I'm going to pay you your wages. That is very interesting, because I want to assure you, as mothers, as fathers, if we live up to our expectation, if we keep guard on our children, if we protect our children, and if we love them dearly, definitely God is going to give us our wages. The wages, you know, for Jochebed at that particular time was to be able to nurse Moses even in Pharaoh's palace. So we could see that this great man of God had two mothers. Politically, you know, he learned and everything, learned, you know, Pharaoh's way, learned their language, he learned, you know, about the army and, you know, about the security and other things like that. But most importantly, he learned from a godly mother. He learned from a godly mother who was always reminding him, you know, of how God delivered him. She would be sharing with Moses, you know, you were little and I was hiding you and I was disguising you. This was the clothes that I was putting on you. But in all, despite all my strategies and your father's strategies, it was God of Israel that delivered you. And I'm sure Moses must have heard that story over and over. So it means even in Pharaoh's palace, Moses' mother did not shy away to tell Moses about the word of God. And like I said, as parents now, what do we feed our children with? Most of us were very particular about physical appearance. We want them to go to college, which is fine. We want them to put on designer clothes. We have all these godly, you know, plans, you know, for them. But do we actually share the word of God with our children? Do we actually teach them, you know, in the ways of the Lord? Do we actually train them in the ways of the Lord? The Bible says when you are sitting down, you should tell your children, you know, about the Lord. When you are walking, you should tell your children, you know, about the word. You should actually tattoo it, you know, upon their flesh. They should know that they belong to God. They should know that they belong to God and they do not belong, you know, to themselves. And once they are grounded, you know, in this love of God, that is actually going to, you know, take them, you know, to places. And I pray that God will help us so that we will support our children to fulfill destiny in the mighty name of Jesus. Moses lived a fulfilled life. He became a deliverer that God wanted him to become. He did not shy away from challenging Pharaoh. The Bible made us to understand that he chose not to be with the oppressors. Most of the time, because our children are bullied, you know, at school, they can't really say no to oppression. They can't say no to violence. When people are inviting them, you know, to test drugs or to test alcohol, they can't really take their stand because we did not groom them. We did not keep them grounded in the word of God. But I'm encouraging us today that as parents, we will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto us in the mighty name of Jesus. Another thing that we need to remember is the position of the family. You know, in the modern times now, you know, we don't really care about family, you know, oneness, unity anymore. Father is going, you know, looking for three shifts, and the mother is also going, you know, moving from one shift to the other. But I want to tell you that is actually not keeping the family together. It's not keeping the family together. So we should know that God wants us to be one, to have unity, to have a kind of front as family. If we're united and if we hold on to the word of God and we teach the word of God to our children, definitely we are going to have a peaceful nation. Things will function better in our schools, in our hospitals, even, you know, within the political system, because we have children who have been groomed to take responsibility for their life. So we should know that we should still love our family. We should do whatever it takes to keep our family together, because that is the foundation, you know, for church, even for our society. And the Lord will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. We should also remember, like, you know, the parents of Moses, that we should be of God. And I want to ask you today, do you actually trust in God? Do you believe in God? Is God? Some people say that there is no God. But my Bible says that the fool says in his heart that there is no God. So if you say that there is no God, you need to actually reconsider your stand, you know, to actually make sure that you put your faith in God, because God is the one who created you, and you can have an abundant life only when you trust in God. So one, the family has to be together. Two, it has to be the family of God. We need to have trust in God. And we need to love the Lord, you know, as well. We can't just proclaim the Lord, you know, by our mouth, because our children are actually seeing us. We should be good role models, you know, to our children. You know, it's one thing to actually tell our children not to steal, but do they see you stealing? You know, so we should be conscious, you know, of things like that. And that's why even the Israelites, you know, were coming out of Egypt, and they wanted to enter the promised land that Joshua was actually telling them, that your great-great-grandfathers serve strange gods. Even in Egypt, they did not trust God. You know, they didn't put their faith in God. Joshua was actually commending them to actually depart from such things, to trust only in God of Israel, because it's only the one who is able to do all things. So Joshua was encouraging them that depart from the fathers that the God that your father served, you know, on the other side. Don't bring that strange God into this promised land, into Canaan. And so today I'm also asking us, whatever fathers that we, our grandfathers, you know, have served, whatever gods they worship, if it's not the real God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, I'm encouraging you to please do away with such gods, because they are vain gods. They can't really do anything for you. So as Christians, as Christian family, for us to bring up God-fearing children, we need to proclaim God. We need to trust God with our heart. We need to live our life, you know, for Christ. People should be able to see us and say there's something different about you. Yeah, definitely we're going to evangelize, but people are watching us. So many people, they know how Christians should conduct themselves. And when you call yourself a Christian and you do not really conduct yourself according to that manner, people lose faith in the God that you are trying to proclaim. And I pray that that would not be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. So like I said, the parents of Moses, they actually saw that he was a good child. So what are the characteristics of faith? The first thing is God, faith sees. You know, most of the time, you know, some people say the Lord says, and you are wondering, what does the Lord say? You know, imagine Samuel's mother taking him to the church after, you know, he became weaned. That was madness. That was craziness. But she knew the discussion she had with God. She knew the promises that she made, you know, to God. And she was going to fulfill her vows. So she took that little lad, you know, even into the care of Eli at that particular time. And that is because, like we said, Anna was trusting God for a boy, but God wanted a prophet. So God said, when she was desperate, she said, if you give me a male child, I'm going to dedicate this child unto you. So Anna, when he took that boy to the presence of God, was seeing a great prophet. So we have to see. And whatever you see has to be related to the word of God that God is talking to you. What are the promises that God has given unto you? Sometimes you're giving that back to a child and it seems that child is feeble. Maybe it's not as intelligent. We've heard so many stories of children that did not appear like proper children. But because their parents believed in them, because their parents spoke positive words, their parents prayed into their life, their parents held on, you know, to the word of God, the promises of God concerning their lives, those children, they have become very powerful men and women of God today. And I pray that that will be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Another thing is, as parents, godly parents, we need to take risk. Most of the time we want to sit at our comfort zone. If something is convenient, that is what we want to do. But I want to encourage you that God wants us to take risk. And God wants us to take action. We could see, you know, the action that Moses' parents took. The first time is when they get back to him, we're not going to allow Pharaoh to kill him. So we're going to hide him. I don't know how they did it, but the Bible says that they did it for 3 months. So we need to take action. We need to take risk. You should know by now that if Pharaoh actually got to know that that was what they did, he would have killed them. He would have killed the baby. But they knew the word of God. They knew the promises of God. They saw God. They saw the word of God. They saw the word of God even in the life of this boy. And we said, this risk is worth taking. We are going to take this risk. And we are going to protect our child. And I'm also taking it back to us as parents today. How do we expose our children? What violence in New Zealand now, you know, we're talking about child poverty and how many billion, you know, that is going to be dedicated so that we can actually eradicate child poverty. It comes in form of violence. As parents at home, do we have, you know, conducive environment to actually raise our children? Or are we always slapping one another? Are we always beating one another? Are we into drugs? Are we into alcohol? We know that children grow through nature and nurture. The environment plays a huge part on the development of our children, on the cognitive, the emotional, or the biological development of our children. And so today, I'm appealing, you know, even to Christian parents or the ones that are yet to know God or to accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that please, let us stand against violence. We could see that Moses' parents stood against violence. They stood against structural violence, it's political violence. They did not allow their dreams to be taken away from them. They did not allow their joy to be taken away from them. And like I normally tell people, it is not this. We can't really put all the responsibility on the state. Oh, the state has to take responsibility for our children. No, the state cannot be in your house to watch your children when they come in, if they go out, if they have good food, if you have actually spent all the money that you are supposed to use on grocery to buy alcohol or to buy drugs instead of using them, you know, to buy necessity or to pay your telephone bills. So I'm appealing to children, just the way Moses stood out in his generation, your child can also still stand out. But you need to have faith in God. You need to believe in the word of God. You need to see that your child is a proper child. You need to teach them the word of God. You need to love them with the word, with the love of God. You need to nurture them, you know, in the way of God. You need to keep reminding them of the way of God. The Bible made us to understand that we should train up our child in the way that they should go. And when they grow up, they will not depart from it. I want to encourage us as parents. Our parents did it. They didn't even have the level of knowledge that we have now. We can also stand up for our children. We can say no to violence. We can say no to oppression. Bullying is the kind of violence, the kind of oppression. If you learn that somebody is bullying your child, you know, at school, you can also, you know, train your child, equip your child to be grounded, you know, in who they are. And if they know who they are, definitely they'll be able to overcome. You can support them. You don't need to keep quiet. You don't need to silence your child in that house. And I pray that as we use the life of Moses and Moses' parent, how they stood out as family of God, how they believe in the word of God, and how they use the word of God to actually nurture their children, and how he grew up to become the deliverer of a whole nation, that such things, or even much more, will be given unto us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Actually, it looks like there was a bit of an issue with the Facebook live streaming, but I believe that most of you have got the message, and it's been very, very, very powerful, you know, and that the message to parents to be able to look after our children because they are the next generation. And, you know, whenever Mama comes here, she speaks to the heart of parenthood. She speaks to the heart of families, the structure of the family, ensuring that we are raising the next generation and laying the good foundation of this new generation are going to build on. So thank you very much, Mama, for what you are doing, you know, and the life of women, you know, because you're working with women, ensuring that these women will be able to rise up, stand for themselves, rise up, look after their family, and play the role they have been created by God to play. And that's powerful, because if we can create a safe environment for our children to grow up in, most of the issues we are going to be having in our society probably might not be there. You know, and it's very powerful. Thank you very much, Mama. And we're going to have a quick break, and I'm going to come back to you again. We're going to listen to Busla Martin. It is Arabaribiti.
Oh, ode lati wa fi fun o lati wa fogo fun o ni iwo lo ba tin je mi ni ma se eberu alapa lati yo mo re ninu ofin ya boya ju oba mi ara mo du oro gbingbin ni kin oba wu o ma se pe opa tin kole o ko ran olorun oba mi oba to lojo gbogbo oba to lo konrin kese oba mi ati tan oloruko pupo oloruko repete a o ma ni o a o ma gbe oga a o ma joni waju re bala o ba si bi ko se wo ba tin je mi ni ma se be ti to bi re mi mo ro ba o ko ba je da ye ode lati wa fi fun o lati wa fogo fun o ni iwo lo ba tin je mi ni ma se eberu alapa lati yo mo re ninu ofin ya boya ju oba mi ara mo du oro gbingbin ni kin oba wu o ma se pe opa tin kole o ko ran olorun oba mi oba to lojo gbogbo oba to lo konrin kese oba mi ati tan oloruko pupo oloruko repete a o ma ni o a o ma gbe oga a o ma joni waju re bala o ba si bi ko se wo ba tin je mi ni ma se be ji to bi re mi mo ro ba o ko ba je da ye
Radio Aqua 104.6, sponsored by the Ghana Station of News, and you're listening to Hetty Bungra.
You make my life better. As day with you, me, I no go suffer. I love my father, now he the conquer. I need your blessing, I need your favor. Allah, the small God, they no get power. You do me fine way, people, they wonder. Brayemum, yemum, nayenda, nase, nase.
This is Radio Kwa 104.6 FM, sponsored by the Ghana Association of New Zealand. This one is Chrissy Freddy's favorite. Oboba J.A. Adofo. I say, ya boati ma, what? CFN, I did them all time mess. Oh, she said, you may want to be done. I guess I wouldn't name a classmate. What is it? Radio Kwa 104.6 FM. Today's topic, two different topics we're going to discuss today. There are some teachers in Ghana who are recording pictures of the children in the classrooms and sharing them on social media without the consent of the parent. What have you got to say to this? What have you got to say to this? What, if you join us on Facebook, share the video. What about the uprising in Togo? The uprising in Togo. Is it going to get better in Africa? This is Radio Kwa 104.6 FM, sponsored by the Ghana Association of New Zealand. There's an uprising in Togo. The next door neighbors of Ghana. This is the part I love, you know, the instrumentals. Oboba J.A. Adofo. Share the video for us, Wati. Join us on Facebook, share. Just tell us where you are joining us from, and we're going to shout out to you. Would you allow your kids' pictures to be shared on Facebook without your consent? By a supposedly professional teacher. We'll be right back. na nampa do si obia ne ne suba teacher for no classroom no obia ne ne suba wate Kwasi utie enwume ya ai utie enwume ya wa wo no ni sen kwasi
hwe na se yi omo
ota ai
flavor
omo
yeah organic
organic
yeah
kwasi se ai je e oboba je e adofu na nampadu aye organic
organic
e original no no
Yeah.
Oh, just
Yem frame.
And yeah, bio. Everyone said G.
They sat down, they plan, they think, they do the rhythm. You see,
just the utie instrumentals. What you say?
Yeah.
Okay, so those are the musicians.
Well, these guys also are also musicians, but that was our time.
Yeah, those are.
So our time was different.
Yeah, everything is
different.
Yeah.
Maybe our parents' time also was different.
Yes. But
yeah.
Adadam is always Adadam.
All friends are the best.
Okay, all friends are the best. So the issues that we are facing now, what we are going to discuss now is there's an issue about teachers in Ghana recording the videos of kids in school and sharing them on Facebook without the consent of the teachers. So I'll quickly go and just I've got a quick video from the Mad King's Facebook page. The Mad King's Facebook page. And I'm going to play that. And after that, we're going to come back right into the studio. And I'm going to have this wonderful discussion with my social commentator, Akwasi Freddy. So let's listen to this. And after that, I'll come back to the studio again, Akwasi.
Bia one menya adwene kura pomodia ne fa wadwene eye nan etudwa enya didi atem na me pacho asamo me wakani amani enyi hu no enie ye man gane hu etichafo bebre dudu ona se omo chere enkona na die bi na enkora no enhu a na oma bomodia no oma record wo mo oma video omo na omo dia beto abontene ebi ne se
Okay, I think we're having a bit of problem with the recording. But no matter what it is, let me shout out to one of our listeners, Kuma Solomon. I am Ejasemen Shia. I'm watching you live from Medina, Accra. Ejasemen Shia, watching you live from Medina, Accra. So shout out to you. Big ups to you, Ejasemen Shia. On your Facebook page, you are Kuma Solomon. Kuma, we're shouting out to you and your wonderful family back in Medina, Ghana. Now, Kwasi. Okay, well, recently, what triggered me was the recent episode of this child who was a student who was trying to learn how to use a computer. And the teachers, they were trying to get this girl to go and play with the computer or play with the laptop. This girl was scared because she's never seen it before or she's never used it before. But what happened was that they were trying to get her to touch the computer. She was scared. She was running away. She was crying. She was on the floor. And some of her colleagues were trying to get her to go and use the computer. And the teacher was recording this incident, and she shared it on WhatsApp or Facebook. There's another one as well. There are a few instances of teachers sharing the video of their children on Facebook and recording the pictures of their kids and sharing on Facebook. Is it yours? Okay, so it's very important for us to understand that these behaviors are unacceptable. But I want Kwasi Freddy in the studio here with me to discuss this conversation. So Kwasi, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
What is your take on this then?
Yeah. First of all, I'm shouting out to all the audience, our fans, our listeners, and I hope everyone is well.
Okay, you go ahead, question.
It's very, very wrong in the sense that, for example, I don't know, I've never been on a sea before. like fishing. And sometimes my colleagues, my friend, ask me, let's go for fishing.
Yeah.
I just said no, because I'm not a fisherman.
Yeah.
I'm so scared of sea.
Yeah.
You see, so therefore I don't go close. Yeah. I'm taking that as an example.
Yes.
They don't need to take a picture, WhatsApp, and video me and put it on Facebook and say, this guy is so scared of water.
Yeah.
You see, so the same thing applies to this girl. She's not comfortable.
Yeah.
What do you want her to do at that moment?
Yes.
Just leave her alone for some time.
Yeah.
Maybe a time I come, he will decide. I mean, so the time I come, say, okay, now I feel comfortable to play with it.
Yes.
You see what I mean? It's just like bicycle. Not many people want feel comfortable to sit on a bicycle.
Yes.
People also, as soon as you give it to them, they just sit on it and ride it.
Mm.
And especially as a teacher, the teachers are supposed to even advise the children not to use. How to use these gadgets, because it's very sophisticated.
Yeah,
it's not simple tools that you see it like that.
Yeah,
they are the one who is supposed to encourage the children not to use it anyhow.
Yeah,
but you as a teacher, you put in everything that you come across on Facebook.
Yes,
what do you expect the children to do in the future?
Yes.
Mm.
So one day I'll be just one old man will be just be walking on the roadside, maybe trying to maybe walk with Janine, and the child.
Mm-hmm.
Could one of your students
will
just take the video and just snap him and put on Facebook, how beautiful, and that person can be even you.
Yes.
So it's totally wrong. They shouldn't be doing that. You encourage the children not to use it anyhow.
Yeah, but was also looking at what is happening. Let's look at the teacher's behavior, because it's unacceptable to one in New Zealand, because I got two kids.
Mm.
And then what happens is anything the teachers want to do with the kids, like whether they want to take them to excursion, they want to take them to for a walk on the somewhere, they want to take photos of them for book or for a present, whatever it is. They take written consent from the parent before they can even use that.
Mm.
Beside that, they do, what do you think is the problem? Because is it the issues with the teachers' training, or you know? Because when the issue came with the nurse, we came here and thought about it.
Yeah.
Mm. And the same thing that's happening here is the Ministry of Education. Do they need to take action against these behaviors?
Yes, of course. Yes, of course.
Because you go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah. Okay. So it looks like question is so popular. So I'm going to come back to question later. So we are talking about the issue regarding teachers in Ghana. Teachers in Ghana recording. Okay, so let me shout out to Abdul Bash. You are watching us inside Sampa. You are watching us from Sampa. So shouting out to you and your wonderful family back in Sampa. But what we are talking about, there are teachers in Ghana who are recording videos of children when they are in the classroom, when they are studying, when the kids are supposed to be studying, or when the kids are struggling. Sometimes the kids are struggling to sing the national anthem. They are struggling to sing a particular song. They are struggling to use a computer, or they are struggling to do whatever in the classroom. These teachers will record the conversation and share them on social media. Okay, my wonderful wife has just joined us on Facebook. I'm shouting out to you, Rosemona, wherever you are. Thanks for joining us on Facebook. My wife is saying it's unacceptable for because these kids are naive. They don't know what is happening. So these kids are trying to get to know what is happening. But these teachers will record them and share them on social media. This behavior is becoming unacceptable. But the question I have to ask is, why? Almost everybody, recently the issue of the nurse came up. We spoke against it. The management of the hospital took action against it. But now it's becoming of teachers recording videos of children on Facebook and sharing them, recording them on their phone and sharing them on social media, WhatsApp. One, before you can even take a picture of any child, for whatever reason, you need to get a consent from the parent. One, did these teachers receive consent from, the parent before they did what they were doing? But these behaviors have become unacceptable. And it's about time the Ministry of Education need to do something about it. One, we need to look at the teaching or the education of these teachers. Let's look at the teaching or the education of these teachers. How are these teachers being trained? Professionalism, ethics of their work. Are they being trained how to, you know, how to act professionally? Because this behavior of these teachers are unacceptable. It's not professional. It's unacceptable. It's against the ethics of their profession. One, you are taking pictures or videos of children without the consent of the parent and sharing them on Facebook. This action is unacceptable. And it needs to be told to every teacher in Ghana or anybody, a nurse, a doctor, a teacher, whoever it is. These children are in a very vulnerable position. Or patients could be in a very vulnerable position. Taking pictures and videos of them and sharing them on Facebook without the consent of the legal guardian is just cannot be accepted in our nation, Ghana. And we need to rise up and speak against this. And the Ministry of Education need to also come and join this message and just make sure that these teachers stop their behavior, because we shouldn't be tolerating this behavior anymore. Because it's unacceptable. And those of us in New Zealand and in and also the team of the Radio Akwa Ibom 104.6 in Auckland, we just want to speak against this behavior. It's unacceptable, and we don't want to condone it. Kwasi Freddy has is back with me again, and I'm going to get Kwasi's feedback again. Kwasi, let's look at Kwasi's let your conversation flow.
Yeah, as I said before, it's not really good at all. It's more to me. It's a disgrace to teachers, because teachers are supposed to teach the children how to do things right.
Yeah.
Although it's your phone, it belongs to you.
Yeah.
But you need to understand the way to use it and use it in a good manner.
Yeah. Because you go ahead.
When you're teaching children and they do not understand,
yeah,
just take your time.
Yeah.
To teach them. Not every children are born to be clever.
Yes.
And everybody also is clever. They are clever in different ways.
Yes. Yeah.
You see, so when you're teaching them something and they don't have understanding, you don't need to take the photo, picture, and put it on the Facebook. Yeah. And say, I'm teaching this child, he can hardly understand this.
Yeah. It's like you are shaming the child.
You're shaming the child.
Yeah.
Instead of encouraging the child.
Yeah. And the also issue is that when these kids grow up, yeah, to become maybe they are contested for positions
because some children, they don't even want to see their pictures when they were young.
Yes, yeah. Some people don't want to see them.
I've seen so many. Use your picture. Say no, it's not me. They don't. Yeah. You know, they don't. They're not proud of who they were before.
Yes, yeah. You know, say example, like, so if you take this child who was struggling to use the phone. iPhone, and for whatever reason, you are not able to do that. And this child grow up to contest for position of MP.
MP. Whatever it is.
Yeah. You could be a banker or whatever position that you find yourself in. And these videos suffered on during the campaign process. What are you going to do about it? So it's very important for us to understand that these behaviors of these teachers are unacceptable. Because what can you say about the training we give to our teachers in the school in the schools?
Well, the training, I had a school teacher. He's gone back to Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
And according to him, when he was in the training school, they go under a certain sort of bullying.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So somebody's going to training college to come and teach in the public.
Yeah.
Go under bullying.
Yeah.
So, and all this thing they are doing is part of bullying.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? So it has become part of our culture that needs to be changed.
Yeah.
And can also try to change from the training colleges as well.
Yeah, because so what you are trying to say is when the kids are these teachers are bullied in school.
School, even when you're in high school.
High school or primary school, in the training college. When they are bullied, they grow up to bully children.
Children as well.
And one of the ways they do it is like humiliate the children.
Yeah.
Okay. So it looks like we have a bit of some audience in the studio here. Kwasi, go ahead. Yeah.
You see. So we come from a bullying culture.
Yeah.
And I think it's about time for us to put some certain. Even a member of parliament is talking to you.
Yeah.
Like when you listen the way they talk, it's like bullying. You do know me who I am. Even a preacher. Preaching the gospel to you is also bullying.
Yeah.
They can even bully up.
Intimidation. Do you know who I am? Do you know I'm here? I'm this, I'm there. I'm messing sound with that bread. And those kind of things. So these are the mentality of the people who are in position in Ghana.
Yeah.
They intimidate those who are in a vulnerable position.
Position.
So when you get up there, you
also believe that it's the same.
It's the same.
Yes. So this behavior. So let's. Abduba says, "Kwajo, you are right. Some teachers conduct themselves unprofessional, and as such, they should be condemned. Those who did that should be sanctioned by the Ghana Education Service." Live from Sampa Bronga, Hafu. Thank you very much, Abdul. So Kwasi, go ahead, yeah.
You see, so as you were in a boarding school,
yeah.
They bully from there,
yeah.
And you think it's okay,
yeah.
It's normal,
yeah.
Then you go to training college, you get the same bullying,
yeah.
Now when they give a task,
yeah,
to manage anything,
yeah.
You also think, oh, yeah, I'm in a position to take advantage of other people,
yes, yeah.
So the whole strain that we go through is all about bullying.
Bullying. And these behaviors are unacceptable,
yeah.
And we should not be accepting this behavior because what happens is
how many of us, even adults, want to share their pictures on Facebook?
We're not happy at all most of the time.
Yeah. Because how many people want to? I know there are many people who don't want to share who don't want their videos or their pictures of them to be on Facebook.
Even my picture is not even on my WhatsApp.
Yes. So why? What about this case? And to me, it's shameful. But let's see. So Nero X is saying, if you are a teacher and you do these things. Let's see what Nirox's response to the behavior of these teachers.
Okay. Let me X. Can somebody call my baby? That I love I'm bully. Oy. But now I don't they worry. If she don't come.
Nero X says, if you're a teacher and you do that, we are yawa. What?
Can somebody call my baby? That I know I'm lonely. Boy. But I don't need worry. You don't tell me, worry. Now I go there. Cause I do yawa, yawa, sheba ye yawa, yawa.
Say, oh, yes, sir. Oh, yeah, yawa. What? Oh, yeah, yes, sir. You're a teacher now, yes, sir. Oh, yeah, yawa.
You're making me turn up. Baby, come on. Hey, you go to follow. But you're making me go loco. Hey, I wanna carry you go. Now, my feet will do. I'm missing one up a cuckoo. One up a cuckoo. Girl, if you want to my mind. Now I don't know what he wanted. If you don't call me, can somebody call my baby?
Shout it out to all our wonderful listeners on Facebook. Those who be sharing our videos and invite your friends to join us, shouting out to you. Big ups to everything.
Cause that do yawa, yawa, sheba ye yawa, yawa, yawa. Don't worry. You don't call me, Obi. Yawa go de. Girl, I'm missing you, baby. You are my one and only. Do I want you to show me? Then are you be my homie?
When you come back, we're gonna go to our next topic.
Slowly. Me toffee, me chobi. You know you are go Mario. Girl, it be you when I'm on my mind, oh, baby. All the shows are the call, if you don't come and go die, oh, baby. Now I don't need worry. You don't come with me, oh, me, then now I go there.
Coming back to the studio here, right in the studio. So this one is coming from the camp of Nero X. It says, Yawa Godin, to your teacher. If you're a teacher and you behaving like this and be recording pictures of video, you'll be taking pictures or videos of children and sharing them on social media without the consent of their parent. Oh yeah, Yawa. What? You are Yawa. Nero X says, Mungla Muye, Yawa, Yawa. Okay, our next one is going to be on Togo. We're going to go to Togo very soon. So, Kwasi, what do you think about what is happening in Togo? Let me go to Kwasi Freddy now.
I haven't seen this. Just show some images for me, to me.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So Kwasi, go ahead. Just have your opinion about the uprising happening in Togo, and I'll just be back with you. Let me see what this kiss won. Kwasi, go ahead.
Yeah, we have a good dream, guy. And they say, hey, I say, Mary, we are Mompire Million Mumutugo. Say, Yanko Mumabotre. Now, a cow young one a council. Now, price in Indian fat, in your name in your home. The African penny for especially West Africa. Don't be my abuana, sir, and name an idea, Akofom. Akofom. Koyo. Tiaja. So I send ye MZ a DBA KCSNB bribe. Nemon pine ne bose. As we try and then ya. You see, I lot of home gun across every and one some more as my na BBI baby see wo sa to go. And then I say, ya kwa na see by the gun and penny for where they treat you mwa, Madame Roma. Kojo, Bishop images then.
Go ahead.
Yeah, send American. Yeah, say what was for Naja. Yeah, die homo. Woman in penning for. See, Nigeria from the Google across here, you won't papa.
Ah, what is happening? If you look at what is happening, okay, in the AC, they are on our border, almost border. So,
yeah.
So whatever happens in Togo okay. Is going to.
When it happened in Ivory Coast, it came together. We get affected as well.
Yeah,
even
yeah.
When it happened in Liberia and Sierra Leone, we get affected.
Yes, because we are going to take refugees. Besides that, they're going to have a peace. This is why are going to come and compete with jobs. With us.
Jobs.
Already, we are struggling with jobs. The number of jobs available. Mm. So it's going to be because. Let's look at the behavior. The Yadema family have been running this country for 50
that's what
years.
That's what they said. Yeah.
So 50 years. Mm. But the problem is, what do we need, Africans? What do we need as African leaders? That your family, you are in position for the last 38 years. Your kids come, your son come to join for another 12 years. But, Kwasi, why do you think this uprising is happening now?
I won't have much idea. Me not much idea because when we talk of Togo history, I don't have much idea compared to Ghana.
But it's about
power.
But if you look at the whole Africa in general, Mugabe, the Yadimas, if you look at all of them, the constant hold on to power. Just say almost idea anymore. They don't want to let go.
Let's see what Mugabe cry.
Oh, I said 50 years. A family like you 50 years. Because Mugabe is saying, But the way I'm behaving now. Because earlier now, we said they've pushed the people to the wall.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Also, sometimes we think, because Ghana, a Christian country, and the young conduct, and we can't train us. Assembly now working. You mean, catch and say, Crying Christo, in your Christian country, say, was the canon. Might be kind of broke. Was it fair? We are Primsica Church goers. So, you know, Ghana from Ghana, Christopher from Ghana, Ghana, and Gronfonso, or Tun Becase, Ghana and Cremont in Yonkontoqua. You are soon for so because I boy, you're soon for some Yonkontoqua.
I have Muslim
magazine, I like Yonkontoqua, so that is
yeah.
No, you're pushing in to the war now, better J. Jerome's asset. Any gun and penny for say, oh man, Umutini may be as ya, a jag 2 minute quagacra, Nabacra, be drew a papa your mamma, so on so at yas, a quagacra, Nabacra, so on. You go between us, share a coma diache. What a position was a coma diache. So I'm supposed to come at the nache, and you swing a cra, Conocosan Rebby,
Namsum
Rebby. So that's it. So no.
But
also,
this behavior, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. No, I'm going to say, what and to acquire from the First World War was it Annie? That's what the Second World War was it Annie? And financial is free. Was Europe? Now Europe, who made it before? So me, Christopher. Who am I going to? Who am I going to be a fairy Christian country?
I'm not going to be a fairy Christian country.
Baby,
so no every do papa buzi amone ko nyina munyina ti mu ase de etina etina baby so no o se o se what diga cry is ko ne me den ne me dibi so no nyansa de obi atrim so no mo so on ti asa won ko dia na wo shaman fo bufu
yes because but on se ko se but even the way our African leaders we treat the treaty protesters obu ona ade bi ko so na ne nyi ho. He has the right to go. I'll protest. We will be social media. No, we can. No. But if we use force to try and stop the people now, they will explode. A bit happen in an Arab uprising. And we hear these situations here. They use the force to try and stop them, and the whole thing got out of hand. But yeah, can let's bring it back to Ghana. Sir Galam say yeah can what's mean. We the same thing. Galamse boys, we are using force to try. Very soon, I've been
a sometimes you know, say, well, use force, I never want me then.
But if when you apply force now, who promise you say you will find an alternative job for them?
No problem.
Because who promise you say you find an alternative job for them? And what promise you say you find an alternative job for them? Not a human in my end, I want to know what you know.
But what's your idea? In fact, say, first thing you say, pioneer. Obia be dinka stop wo mu, to be honest.
Yes,
and I don't see much wrong there. Yeah, no alternative job, no. If I promise you, I'm going to back it being. Umbeji se papa dia de e de agu akwam so as e no mo no so timi de e ye because gold so as ye
but what you can say but human man there are people still mining most of the big companies almost some of your mining but my yapam mo ne kwankwara no e mo mo de so fi ni mo ne anema yaju but there are big companies where they are still mining and they are saying kwara no bufu no because I you stop us for mining but meanwhile no also no there are other people there are big companies now they are still going about doing their mining.
Those are big companies who are thinking they do big.
Yes,
I don't know you are saying you meet me do big. You meet me do big.
Sometimes everyone what the cause of most of the problems in Africa at the moment is unfairness. Well, if I feel say you are treating me unfair and I say they are quite on me then I'm so no what do you mean and I'm quite on the phone before.
Yeah, I should meet you now say never dear anything and now
explanation. It brought my attention. Say, when you push people to the wall, they will explode.
And
no matter what it is, in Ghana, Africa.
Because
people were demonstrating, legally demonstrating, and then the leaders used force on them. Because when they tried to use force,
sir, one shall say use force now.
Yeah.
Master, if you ever use a demonstration, they kick you.
But what is happening now for Egypt? If they took their time and deal with the situation, and Egypt will not be where it is at the moment. And I said, Gaddafi, for instance. Or people were demonstrating, you leave them to demonstrate, find a way to deal and resolve the issue with them. But when you start to bring the army to forcefully take them out of the street, they will rebel.
If you have me from Grammy, you know,
yes. Some people could even turn around against you. And I think it's Africa form. African leaders need to be very careful in the way we deal with Africa.
Because then we are saying like it's true. And this is a kind of Ghana, no one we are not.
Yes, it is very important. Let's have a quick music break, and after that, I'm going to come back to the studio to question Freddy. Let me have a quick music break from the camp of Hetty Bongrad. Oluwa she baba o, baba o, aha, Oluwa she baba o, baba o, Oluwa she baba.
He is the Alpha and he's the Omega. He created the heavens and he...
Shouting out to you, Nina. Just join us on Facebook.
The sea is weeping. Say you are God of all. May you are, I will praise your holy name.
Coming from the camp of Hetibogra.
I will bow to your holy name. So everybody come on, shout.
My life na better, why am I that? Sugar my cocoa, what's your me don't call me won't pop up, why am I strong? See,
this life we take is no easy. Cause I de pay my light bills and my water bills. I de pay my rental and all the fees I need. The man they like us, no water on to pay. It's the chico fail you, Nigeria never can fail you. But the Lord.
Very good. Very soon we're gonna come close to the end of the program very soon. But Kwesi Fedi, what have you got to say, Kwesi?
Ghana a church for teachers, no?
Yeah, yeah.
We bring our children for you to train them up.
Yes, yeah.
We expect our children to have a better training.
Yes, yeah.
More discipline.
Yes.
And especially with this WhatsApp. That you put them on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's in everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not really appropriate.
Yes, and unacceptable.
At all.
Unacceptable. Yeah, unacceptable.
Even I encourage the teachers to advise the students. Mm. If you have a mobile phone, when you come to school, please leave it home.
Yes, yeah, yeah. But and also,
or even if you bring it in school, please turn it off.
Because the parent gave the phone to the kids and some school school never been here.
They can contact which school.
Okay,
if you bring it to school, once you're in the classroom, put your phone off.
Yes. The teachers are adults. They can make decisions and they need to behave themselves. They need to behave. And I think that this comes to the abuse of the use of social media in Ghana.
Well, we abuse everything.
That's
as far as I'm concerned. We abuse everything.
Yeah.
And we need to learn the way we should use a lot of things in a good way.
And it's very important. So I think let's also be calling on the Ghana Education, the Minister of Education, NAPO, Minister of Education, Matthew Opoku, NAPO, wherever he is, whether you are watching us on Facebook or wherever, but we are saying that the Minister of Education needs to stand up and fight for these children. That this behavior needs to stop. Some of these teachers need to be disciplined because their actions are barbaric.
Mm-hmm.
Barbaric, unacceptable. And we should not tolerate this again. Mm-hmm. So I think our program will be coming to an end very soon. And let's have a quick music. Let's have a quick music break. And JQ, because Marty and Kebima.
And I took good. You're in Ghana, African Panifono, West Africa, 42. Especially in Ghana.
Yeah.
They will come and share with us the bit of food that has left.
Turn up, baby, come on, come on. and you will go to follow.
We are 4.6 months, and can be my or your JQ because next week you're going to come back to this wonderful program. And from next week, go, Ima, baby, I will be, Ima, say next week, or Bastidio. Next week, Ima.